podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to The Punt podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio. And we are set for another weekend of Premier League action. We'll also be speaking about the Football League. We'll hear from Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross with their best bets. And Alex Dunn will provide a bet in Europe. And as we spin through the six televised games in the Premier League, we'll also reflect on the Champions League midweek as well. It is Dave Kellner here with you. And joining us on the line, it's Derek McGovern. A warm welcome to you, first of all, Derek.
Thank you very much, Dave. Yes, good week of Champions League football and an even better one of Premier League football this weekend. Looks great.
It does indeed. And our guest from the FWA is the football writer from the Press Association, Nick Masheter, is on the line as well. Nick, good morning to you, sir.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
All right, thank you. Yeah, very well.
Let's talk betting then, and we'll start with Leicester versus Newcastle, which is the Friday night kickoff. This one, Leicester are 7-10 to win the game. The draw 11-4. Newcastle in at the market at 17-4. Full range of betting markets available on the William Hill website and on the app. And of course, we'll have lots of hashtag your odds and enhanced odds available for this game. Starting with you here, Nick, it's been pretty entertaining watching Leicester at the moment. They've won their last four to move to seventh in the Premier League. And seven of their last eight have seen both teams scoring with at least three goals in those games as well. And they've won the last four Premier League matches now. The last time they won five in a row was back in April 2017. So Leicester are enjoying a purple patch at the moment.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers has come in and he's lifted it. There was a bit of a fog under Claude Puel. He's just put a little bit of enjoyment back into it, I think, both for the players and for the fans who are kind of enjoying what he's brought, a little bit more attacking. Obviously, we've seen Jamie Vardy, revel again, really under him. And I think Jamie's got six goals in five games under Brendan, and obviously James Maddison is flourishing as well, although. Must say he's been relatively consistent all season.
Yeah, and I think Youri Tielemans as well. He's played well since Rodgers took over. He's either scored or assisted a goal in five of his last six Premier League appearances. He's only there on loan, isn't he? And it might be, I don't know if they'll be able to get that deal done in the summer, but it could be a big deal for Leicester.
Absolutely. The problem they've got, obviously, is he's put himself in the shop window in the Premier League. That there will be more interested parties in the summer, I'm sure. But Leicester have him in the door at the minute. He knows what it's like. He's clearly settled and clearly enjoying his football. So you would assume they are in the box seat should anything get done in the summer.
What's your prediction for this game, Leicester-Newcastle?
I'd certainly look at a Leicester win at the minute. And as you rightly said, it'd be their best run in the Premier League for a couple of years. So I'd go Leicester 2-1 because I think Rondon will cause them problems.
Leicester to win the game 2-1 is 7-1. Leicester to win and both teams to score in the match could be a good looking bet as well. That's currently available at 5-2. Derek, this was actually Rafa Benitez's first fixture in charge of Newcastle way back in March 2016. Now Leicester won that one at the King Power by a goal to nil. Newcastle have lost their last couple of games without scoring, but it's still going to be, if they survive this season, which they will do, a successful season for Newcastle.
Yeah, well, not scoring, I can see why. You look at them and you wonder how they ever score. And then you look again and realise that they actually don't. Keeping them up for 2 years, in my eyes, is a greater achievement by Rafa than winning the Champions League with Jimmy Traore in your side. I mean, he's done absolute wonders there. He's walked around with a dotted line above his head since he turned up at Newcastle. And yeah, every time they get to April, they're pretty much safe. He's a former Liverpool manager, Rafa. He came off second best against a former Liverpool manager last week. And he's up against another one now, Brendan Rodgers, who has done absolute wonders since arriving at Leicester. You know, he didn't take his own backroom staff day, but he did take his own dentist, I hear. I think if he wins Manager of the Month award, he'll accept any prize, he said, as long as it's not a little plaque. I like Leicester here because they're playing well and Newcastle seems to have gone off the boil, but their odds on 7-10, and they're not a team I want to... I'm happy to back Leicester at big prices. Not very happy to back them at 7-10. I think that's too short. I can't bring myself to back Newcastle at just over 4-1. Chelsea at a bigger price, by the way, on Sunday than Newcastle are here, which is a bit bizarre in my eyes. Under 1.5 goals, though. I know you said that Leicester have been involved in a few goal sprees lately, but none of those games involve Newcastle. And you know exactly how Newcastle are going to set up at the King Power. It's going to be a tight game. Leicester don't score many at home. Newcastle don't score many away. Under 1.5 goals is 12-5. Mm-hmm. Looks absolutely nailed on.
Good bet, I like it. Spurs versus Huddersfield next. This is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, this one. Spurs are 1-5 to win the game. The draw 11-2 with Huddersfield in the betting at 14-1. A huge win in the Champions League midweek, Derek, for Spurs against City. The VAR decision caused controversy, as they always seem to do. But because Danny Rose made his body bigger, that penalty was given, but Sergio Aguero had it saved by Hugo Lloris. I think they just need to remove that phrase clear and obvious from the terminology, really, because it wasn't a clear and obvious error, basically. But the letter of the law that they are working to means that he made his body bigger and the penalty was given.
They just need to remove VAR, death knell of football, an absolute joke. And I just feel like putting my head through the telly every time I hear one of these pundits saying, well, we got the correct decision in the end. I mean, bringing VAR in the first place was to guarantee a correct decision in every case. But, you know, 50% of them are wrong. That penalty decision in midweek was a joke. And there have been several similar instances, not just in the Champions League, in the Premier League as well. Nowadays, it gets to the stage where a ball hits the hand, clear ball to hand, anywhere in the area, and you get the stupid crowd baying for a penalty because they know there's half a chance they'll get one. It's ruined football. And, you know, the sooner we get rid of it, and I'm convinced that we will, because I can't believe how this is improving football, the better in my eyes. Anyway, that's off my chest, Dave. Rant over, you'll be pleased to know. Spurs v Huddersfield, 1-5 Spurs. You should be 1-25. I mean, it takes some doing in a league that contains Cardiff, Brighton and Newcastle to be relegated before April, but that's what Huddersfield managed. Lost 25 of 33 Premier League games this season. I mean, I find that absolutely amazing. There were really 8 teams that failed to beat them. they're being a joke. I'm not saying they're back four as bovine, but I've heard their agent is the Minister of Agriculture. That's how slow they've been at the back. They haven't been much better in midfield either. There's a lot to like about the 100-30 for Spurs -3 here. What I like most about it is it will probably cop, because this is an absolute cakewalk.
That midweek result against Manchester City was undoubtedly, Nick, a very, very good one. It did come at a cost. Harry Kane may be out for the season now. They have coped without him, though. They won 4 out of 4 with Harry Kane out injured back in January in the Premier League, and this should be a penalty kick for them.
You just can't see them losing this. But as you said, they've coped without Kane previously, and you would expect possibly Son to push on further up and maybe kind of sort of be that main striker for them. He's got 18, I think, in the Premier League this season. So Moura, 9 goals, Eriksen, 8 goals, Dele Alli's got 7, even Llorente's got 7. So there are options, there is backup, and I think if you are going into a game without Harry Kane, you'd probably want it to be Huddersfield at home, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Huddersfield, by the way, they actually opened their season away from home by scoring in their first 4 Premier League games. They've subsequently only scored in 4 of 12 away from home. So you could be looking at Spurs to win 2-0 in this game, which is bound to be a pretty short price. 17-20, so only a shade of odds on Spurs to win this game without conceding.
That's not bad, that day.
That's okay, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought it'd be something like 4-7 or something.
Yeah, I thought it might be shorter than that, 17-20. Nick, are you going to provide us with some balance about VAR, or would you get rid of it as well before it even comes in?
It's a tricky one, because you do look at these decisions and go, hang on, what? I mean, case in point, Manchester United in the Champions League at PSG last month. I don't think there was any case for that to be a penalty, frankly. In the last minute, it was a great story, and you know, it made for a wonderful spectacle and a great climax, but it wasn't a penalty. But it's difficult because decisions are subjective, aren't they? So one person's penalty is another person's play on or whatever. So it's supposed to eliminate the debate almost, isn't it? But it's not. I think it's just going to add to it, because it will magnify the decisions even further.
Mm. No, I agree. So Spurs versus Huddersfield, Spurs convincing win, Nick?
Oh, absolutely. I think if they don't score more than three, I think everybody would be surprised.
Yeah, OK. Spurs to win the game 4-0, 10-1, 5-0, 18-1. Spurs to win it 3-0, available at 6-1. The tea time fixture on Saturday is Manchester United versus West Ham. And the latest betting sees Manchester United 38-100. The draw 4-1, West Ham in the betting at 7-1. Nick, midweek performance against Barcelona wasn't particularly good. They didn't have a shot on target in that game. They lost 1-0, and I thought Paul Pogba and Marcus Rashford were particularly poor in that match. And they had an opportunity against Barcelona, because Lionel Messi, I think, playing with some sort of strain, didn't have a massive influence on the game. But Manchester United had spells, but only spells, and to not have a shot on target at home in a Champions League quarter-final isn't good.
No, you would have thought that last night, at Old Trafford, they would have to go for it, because naturally going to Barcelona with the new camp is going to be harder. So why go there, having been a little bit passive and now having to recover a first leg deficit? So it's strange, because they've really dropped off since the PSG victory. I've seen them twice against Wolves in the league and the FA Cup in the last month or so, and both times have been extremely poor. One win in five, that win only coming against Watford. I'd still expect them to beat West Ham, but they'll naturally be looking at Barcelona next week and thinking, right, okay, well, should we rest, or should we hold back a few? So almost wouldn't be surprised if they rested Pogba. And to be honest, the way that he's been playing at the minute, you could argue the case that he'd probably be right to be dropped, really.
Yeah, I think so. Manchester United have clearly struggled in games after a European fixture as well. They've lost at Manchester City, Liverpool and Arsenal, admittedly three difficult fixtures, and they've drawn against Southampton on the back of a Champions League midweek. And as Nick mentioned there, Derek, they've got to think about the return fixture at the Nou Camp as well.
Yeah, but they've also got to think of getting points for the top four, haven't they? This isn't like a sort of a day off for them. It's a big game. And they're lucky, you mentioned that, Tottenham are lucky to be playing Huddersfield. Well, I think Man United are even luckier to be playing West Ham. I mean, how bad have they been lately? I mean, against Chelsea, they were so bad I thought they were West Brom. Against Everton, they were so bad I thought they were Westlife. They've been an absolute joke. And the players they've signed, big things were expected of. I mean, what's happened to Felipe Anderson? £40 million. And he's disappeared. The only Anderson you should pay £40 million for is Pamela. I think Manuel Pellegrini is considering it. All their players, all their big players seem to be on the beach already. And I think United are absolute certainties. Yeah, I know they were poor in midweek against Barcelona. Barcelona were there for the taking, by the way. And United just didn't look capable of it. But there's a world of difference between Barcelona and West Ham. And United will prove it. And even money minus a goal, I'll be on it.
OK, evens Manchester United for Derek. Nick, your prediction?
I'd probably go 2-0 United.
2-0 Manchester United, available at 6-1. I think, Nick, as well, Paul Pogba is the big conundrum for me, because there's no doubt in his talent, but he needs to grab some of these games by the scruff of the neck. And in the most recent game against Wolves in the Premier League, I was astounded at how often he gave the ball away. I just wonder if Manchester United will consider cashing in on Paul Pogba in the summer.
Possibly. I mean, he's had an interesting season, shall we call it. Obviously, first half of the season under Jose just seemed to be continually butting heads and not getting the best out of him. And Pogba and Jose Mourinho were just in sort of sulky teenager mood with each other, really. Solskjaer comes in, gives him a new lease of life. He does brilliantly, but since they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup in sort of mid-February, like 10 games ago, he hasn't scored. And that's including for France as well, 10 games.
And these are
big games. You know, they were terrible in the FA Cup at Wolves. And he was outshone by Yao Moutinho and Ruben Neves by Wolves. I mean, look, he cost £89 million for Manchester United. Moutinho cost £5 million for Wolves. We know why he cost £5 million for Wolves, because obviously there's a decent connection with them for Wolves there. But he is clearly a brilliant player. We saw that in the World Cup last year. He's a World Cup winner. But for the money that they paid for him and the quality and the skill that he has got, we know he's got, he needs to be doing better. And if you're in a Champions League quarter-final, you need somebody like that to come up with the goods. And clearly he's not right now, but he has done. And that's the frustrating thing.
In Germany, Borussia Dortmund bid to get their title charge back on track. Against Mainz, they were absolutely obliterated last weekend by Bayern Munich. 5-0 the final scoreline there, but this is a nice fixture for them to return home to. Mainz on the road have really been struggling of late. They've lost the last five now in succession, and they've conceded three or more in four of those games. Dortmund score so many goals at home, I can only see them winning this, and winning it convincingly as well. The market I do like is Dortmund total goals in the match to be over 2.5. That weighs in at even money.
Let's move on to Crystal Palace versus Manchester City. 2:05 on Sunday, this one. Crystal Palace are 10-1 to win the game. The draw 17-4. Manchester City 100-30 on. And they need to get over their disappointment of that midweek result, Manchester City. They seem to me, Derek, to be sleepwalking through the latter stages of the season. They had such an easy run up until that Champions League quarter-final first leg. I get the feeling they were caught cold in that match a little bit, Derek.
Yeah, they were found wanting, weren't they? They didn't look City-like at all. A lot of people questioned Guardiola's tactics in that game, but they don't look like the City of, you know, a couple of months ago. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that Palace went to City and won. I mean, the shock result of the season. I can't explain how that happened. I mean, maybe Guardiola thought it was such a bang at home when they put Brian Kidd in charge for the day, or maybe even Brian Kidd in the team. It was just a ridiculous result. It won't happen again. It won't happen this weekend because, as I've said many times on this bulletin, you're probably sick of me saying it, Dave. Palace at home, you don't touch. Palace away are where the best. Palace home's right. Home record. They won 1 point at home more than Fulham this season. That's how bad they are at home. And yet, Bucky continues to price them up. It's a 10-1 here, Palace. If they were at Manchester City's ground, they'd be, what, 25-1, 28-1, and yet they'd be more likely to win at City's ground, as has already been proven. City at 3-10, understandably so. I know they've got a big game against Tottenham in the Cup next week, but this is just, in the Champions League rather, but this is just as big. And I think they'll win 2-0, City, which is around the even money mark, I think it was.
Yeah, City to win the game 2-0, available at 21-20, so just a shade of odds against City to win without conceding this weekend. Interesting Manchester City performance midweek, and I think more than tactically, Nick, it was team selection. Leroy Sané's barely got a look in this calendar year, and Riyad Mahrez, his performance was deplorable midweek.
I think you look at it, and Guardiola brought Sané and De Bruyne on with a minute to go. That was bizarre. I think if you're trailing with, obviously it was a late goal from Son anyway, but you would have thought that maybe there would be an immediate reaction. If they've got 12 minutes or 10 minutes more on the pitch, then maybe these guys could do a little bit more than the minute or so than they actually had. I think Delph had a difficult time of it, but he was playing out of position. And that was a strange one. But yeah, I think it's strange that Mahrez started over Sané. He's not had the season that he would have liked to have had after he moved from Leicester. But that's not a massive surprise given the array of talent that Manchester City have had. He was never going to walk into that team and star, I don't think.
And this is perhaps a stumbling block for City here as well, because Derek mentioned that 3-2 defeat at the Etihad. This fixture ended 0-0 last season. So Pep Guardiola will be maybe wary of Palace this weekend. Do you see City getting the job done?
I do, but they've been in this position before. They know how to do it. They know how to get across the line. It's about how they handle the pressure, because by and large, both sides at the top have been relentless. You can see one of them getting to 90 points and not winning the league, which would be incredible. They need to win to put the pressure on Liverpool, and Liverpool need to win, obviously, when they play Chelsea, to put the pressure back on Manchester City. So I can't see them slipping up, but pressure does funny things to you.
City to win and both teams to score available at 13-8. If you think City will win 2-0 like Derek does, that's 21-20. Let's talk about Liverpool versus Chelsea then. 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Liverpool 8-13 to win the game. The draw 3-1. Chelsea in the betting at 9-2. Nick, they've still only lost once all season, Liverpool, and that was away at the Etihad. You mentioned 90 points. It's unbelievable to think that if they win their remaining games this season, they could end the season with 97 points and still not win the title. And people were talking 6 weeks ago, perhaps, about Liverpool having that sticky patch. They were just drawing games. They weren't losing games. And this is going to be, I believe, the pivotal game in Liverpool's... if they're going to win the title, they've got to win this game against Chelsea, and it's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. You would obviously expect, at the minute, on the form book, you'd expect Manchester City to beat Crystal Palace. They have to almost assume that's going to happen. They've got Cardiff, they've got Huddersfield, they've got Newcastle, and they've got Wolves in their remaining fixtures in the league, of course, after Chelsea. If they win this, you would expect them, given what's on the line and the teams that are playing, but you would look at that and think, yes, you know what, they could win their last four. So if they win this, they will take a gigantic step to winning the Premier League. And if they win this, then I think they will win the Premier League.
And do you expect them to win this game? I suppose that's the question.
yes. Let's say yes. Let's try and be positive in what's been quite an incredible title race, and it'd be great to see it go towards the end, the last day for the neutral, certainly. So, yeah, I think so. Chelsea obviously have been incredibly hitting this season. They still haven't got to grips with Sarri ball or whatever you want to call it, what they play. So, yeah, I can see them winning this. Obviously, Salah didn't play particularly well, or hasn't played particularly well over the last few weeks, but obviously got back on the score sheet against Southampton. And they're grinding them out. They're not making things easy for themselves, but they are grinding it out. So I would fancy a Liverpool to nick it, maybe 1-0.
Okay, Liverpool to win the game 1-0, available at 13-2. Liverpool unbeaten in their last 37 Premier League games at Anfield now, but Chelsea have been a bogey side for Liverpool. They've failed to win their last 6 Premier League games at home against Chelsea. They have drawn 4 of those and lost 2. Derek, as a Liverpool fan, you must be apprehensive ahead of this weekend.
Big time. Shades of what happened a few seasons ago, wasn't it? In the Steven Gerrard slip against Chelsea at Anfield. The title hopes went pear-shaped that day, and
he'll do so again if City have won already in the day and then Liverpool fail to beat Chelsea. Do I expect them to win? I wouldn't say yes. They deserve to be favoured, definitely. Would I be backing them 8-13? Not on your Nelly. I think that's a terrible price for Liverpool. Yes, there's a lot of things in their favour. Chelsea played on Monday, playing on Thursday night, and now on Sunday. You know, that's tough at this stage of the season. They've lost 6 away games in the Premier League, Chelsea as well. That's only 1 fewer than Newcastle. So they are a bit of a soft touch on the road. And they've got Higuain up front, who looks like he could play for 6 months without scoring. In fact, I think he has. But at Anfield, they don't roll over. You mentioned the last six visits in the league. Well, with a couple of cup matches thrown in, for the last 8 visits to Anfield, Chelsea have drawn 5 and won 3. You know, Liverpool can't crack them at Anfield, even when the stakes are at the highest. I'm troubled by this match big time. When you see their record at Anfield, when you see that they've still got, you know, they've got it all to play for, Chelsea, to get in that top four, this is as big a game for them almost as it is for Liverpool. And they're not a team that, you know, they shouldn't be 9-2 Chelsea. It's too big. Liverpool have been overrated by bookies all season long. That might sound stupid when they've only lost 1 game in the league all season. But I haven't been convinced by Liverpool. I've seen them virtually every single game this term. And the number of times I've been and come away impressed, yeah, it's just very few. And yet, here they are, you know, going for the title and almost in the semi-final of the Champions League. Who's the mug there? I'd suggest me. But no, I'm going to go for Chelsea 6-5 with a goal start. I think that's too big.
And I know I've ridiculed you throughout the season, Derek, for your views on Mo Salah. Going into this game, Chelsea will have the best player on the pitch, won't they, Eden Hazard. I mean, that performance against West Ham, that goal against West Ham, it was a thing of absolute beauty.
It was. He's just a wonderful, wonderful player, and he scored an equally good goal at Anfield in the League Cup earlier this season, if you remember, from cutting him from the right. He's just a sensational player, unstoppable at his best. And Mo Salah even dreamed of being as good as Eden Hazard. He'd have to wake up and apologise. Sorry. Nick, me and Dave have a regular tussle on this broadcast about Salah. I'm a Liverpool fan. I should be behind him. I think he's the most overrated player in the history of not just football, in any sport. And more people are beginning to wake up to that. Sadly, not Dave. But anyway, if he scores the winner at the weekend, I'll love him again. But sorry, I can't have him with anybody's money.
Well, he scored the winner against Southampton last weekend, didn't he, Derek?
No, it was 3-1.
Come on, Derek. He turned that game around with that one moment of brilliance, Nick. Admittedly, maybe in the last couple of months he's not been at his best, but that's the way Liverpool have worked. Mane's, he's performed well when Salah's not been at his best. Now Mane's gone off the boil a little bit and Roberto Firmino stepped up. That front three, that they complement each other perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, look, Salah scored once, hasn't he, since early February against Southampton. Yet they haven't lost that kind of that conveyor belt of goals, and they're still up there. So if you're having kind of your best player who did brilliantly last season, who raced to 50 goals in the Premier League for Liverpool, not fit and firing, but you're still at the top, then I think you can be relatively content with that. And at least it proves they're not a one-man team.
Let's finish the weekend with Watford-Arsenal, Monday night football, this one. Watford 11-5, the draw 27-10, Arsenal 23-20. What a comeback from Watford in that semi-final at Wembley at the weekend, Derek, and what a job Javi Gracia has done this season. 10th in the league, in a cup final, and they've got a good chance against Arsenal, who are outside the top four going into the weekend looking in. And that performance away from home against Everton last weekend from Arsenal was abject, and they have looked abject throughout the season away from home.
They have no characters in the side at all. To say they were second best at Everton is an insult to the word second. To say they were third best, an insult to the word third. And to say you were simply incapable of stringing 3 passes together, Dave, is an insult to the word Burnley. They were a joke, Arsenal. And you know, every time I see them away from home, I can't believe how bad they are, considering whenever they're at the Emirates, they collect 3 points quite easily. So, you know, I should be going for Watford here, especially, over 2-1, you said 11-5.
Yeah.
But Watford are in the FA Cup final now. You know, the last team at Watford's level to reach the Cup final
you'd say was Palace, a team that wasn't really in any danger, you know, and it reached the cup final. That was in 2016, and after their semi-final victory over Watford, ironically, they played three more games, and two of them they lost at Newcastle and Southampton. You know, if I was a Watford player, I wouldn't be trying a leg here. You know, I want to keep myself fit for the cup final. All my eyes would be on that. You could say, well, players need to play, turn it on, you know, to get a game in the cup final, to be selected. I would accept their arguments, but my argument's better. So I'm going to go for Arsenal at 23-20. It kills me to say this because I shouldn't go for them. I've seen them away from home often enough to know that they're crap. But playing against a team that, in my eyes, just won't be at it. So I've got to go for Arsenal.
Arsenal to win and both teams to score, by the way, 12-5. They've not kept a clean sheet away from home yet this season, Arsenal. 15 games they've conceded in all 15 of them. So Arsenal to win and both teams to score at 12-5. If you do fancy the Gunners this weekend, I'm not sure why it's the case they've been so Jekyll and Hyde, because as Derek mentioned, Nick, at home, they on occasion look formidable, but that form doesn't travel.
No, not at all. I mean, well, they've won once in the league, and that was at Huddersfield since late November. If I was an Arsenal fan, if I watched Arsenal regularly, I'd be absolutely baffled at that. Considering what's at stake for them, they need to get back into the top four. They need that Champions League football again. And if I was Troy Deeney, obviously he's had his verbal jousts with Arsenal in the past, I'd be licking my lips, to be honest. If I was Delafeu, I'd be like, right, I've proved what I can do on a bigger stage. Get me back to Vicarage Road and I'll do it again against Arsenal. He was absolutely sensational when everything was dead and buried at Wembley on Sunday. And Deeney just showed nerves of steel and what he's made of to get the penalty. And traditionally, I mean, you look at Arsenal in the past under Wenger when they go to Bolton or they go to Stoke. And traditionally they'd fall apart and they'd get bullied and they'd invariably they'd fail to win, either lose or draw. I would still fancy Watford to edge it. I think they'd still be on a high from the FA Cup. As long as they're not mentally drained, I would fancy them to nick something, maybe 2-1.
Watford to win the game 11-5. Watford to win the match 2-1, available at 9-1. Now it's just time for the best bets then this weekend, chaps. Nick, you are our guest this weekend, so give us your best bet for the weekend.
I'm going to have to stick with Watford, you know. I know we've just come off the back of that, but I was thinking about this earlier and just sort of the character and what they've clearly got within that club and what Avi Gratz has done. Yeah. With them this season, and obviously Arsenal's terrible away record at the minute, and certainly the way they played against Everton, I'm going to stick to my guns and say Watford at 9-1 for 2-1 is would be quite appealing to me.
Okay, for the purpose of the treble, I'll just put Watford in at 11-5 to win the game. I'm going with Southampton to beat Wolves. I think. What did you fancy?
Yeah, shall I answer you? You can have it though, I've got another one.
Are you sure? Yeah I just think that Wolves are going to be so deflated after that FA Cup loss. And Southampton are playing good football at the moment as well. And I thought 8-5, basically a pick'em, was very appealing on Southampton.
Yeah, they were excellent against Liverpool last week. I couldn't believe how good they were. And I'd say the same about Everton against Arsenal last week. Yeah. They were absolutely brilliant, Everton. It pains me to say that as well, but they were. It seems finally as though they're playing for the manager. So they're at Fulham at the weekend. They're only 8-11 to win. I won't go for the 8-11. I'll go for the 21-10 Everton to win with both teams to score.
Okay, so that treble this weekend, chaps. Everton to win and both teams to score at 21-10, going in with Watford at 11-5 and Southampton at 8-5. Just under 25-1, that treble, which sounds good to me. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Nick, thank you for your company.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League, starting with the best bet in the Championship with Pete Farries.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my championship nap this week, I'm going to take something quite short, but I think almost, if not completely definite. Stoke City are 8-11 to beat Rotherham United, but I'm doing this for the reasons that many of you who bet regularly in the Championship will know. You don't back Rotherham away from home. Since they were in the league last time around, from the start of that season to now, they've won just 6 away games. Yes, they did win away from home 2 games ago at QPR, but that was their first and only away win this season. And frankly, this is not just being about pro Stoke, it's being about anti Rotherham on the road. So while Paul Warner's done a great job there, things are starting to improve a little bit at Stoke. Yes, they've not scored in either of their last 2 home games, but they are now very tough to beat at home, and it's got to be said that 3-1 loss at Swansea I think won't matter too much when Stoke host Rotherham. It's as simple as that for me. It's an okay home side against a very poor away. 8-11, very fair. A good one for your Akers. Very best of luck. Let's head to Gav Puchalowski and get his thoughts on League One.
My nap of the day in League One involves the game of the day, in my opinion, which is Charlton at home to Luton. Luton top of the table, flying high. Charlton in the playoffs, but Charlton's current form over the last 6 games is better than that of Luton. Before I provide the bet and the price, I'll provide the evidence beforehand. 2 of the last 3 games at the Valley for Charlton have been over 2.5 goals, 2-1 victories against Portsmouth and Burton Albion, where the last 4 games straight in League One for Luton have been over 2.5 goals. A couple of 2-2 draws, a 4-0 victory against Doncaster and a 2-1 victory away at Bristol Rovers. And the last 3 meetings between these two sides, over 2.5 goals landed in all 3. 2-2 draw, 3-1 victory for Charlton, 2-2 draw. Over 2.5 goals between Charlton and Luton is 21-20. That is my nap, and I'm playing it. Best of luck with your bets. Looking at League 2, here's Al Ross.
A few weeks ago, I came on this podcast blasting Oldham, saying having a name like Paul Scholes in charge had skewed the prices too heavily in their favour and they didn't deserve to ever be as short as they were being priced. That very afternoon, Scholes walked. And this week, I'm backing Oldham to beat Swindon at 6-4. 5 games of the season to go, 6 for Oldham, and it's last chance saloon for the playoffs for both of these sides. Swindon, 3 points, 3 places off the playoff spots, Oldham 1 place and 2 points further back, but with the game in hand, a draw, no good. So I'd be surprised if this one is level, so you have to pick a winner. That, for me, is the home side. Because since Scholes left 3 matches ago, Oldham have scored 6, conceded none, and won 9 points from a possible 9. The teams they've played, 17th, 9th, and 5th. They're playing a Swindon side who have a standout win over Bury in the recent run of results, though that's their only away win since early February. Swindon got a goalless draw at Newport, lost at Carlisle, lost at Stevenage. If you get 1 point from the teams in 8th, 12th and 13th, it seems that 10th place Swindon are struggling at the teams around them, and of course Oldham are 11th. Callum Lang has scored in every Oldham game since Scholes left. He is 6-5 anytime goal scorer, but the Knapp is just backing new boss Pete Wild to make it 4 wins in 4. That is Oldham at 6-4.